So as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, a crowd of his followers have gathered and they begin to shout and praise God and just generally create a commotion. And some of the religious leaders among the bystanders that are watching all of this unfold call to Jesus, telling him to quiet the people down. They don't want to attract the attention of their Roman occupiers. As we know, all of this was occurring on the day that the Roman governor would have entered Jerusalem on the opposite side of the city, leading a military parade as a show of power to make sure there was no trouble as Jewish pilgrims gathered for Passover. Jesus' entry into the city mocked the power of Rome. It was traditionally kings and rulers who paraded into the city riding horses. So Jesus' followers were basically declaring him a king in direct challenge to Roman authority. And so the Jewish leaders were probably rightly concerned about how the Romans might react. But according to Luke, Jesus responds by saying, "Well, if the people were to keep silent, the very stones would cry out." Now that makes me think of our modern saying, "What if the walls could talk?" What stories would they tell? Stories of history? Stories of pain and joy? Would they talk of the sacred intimacies of life? And if the stones at Jesus' feet could talk, what would they speak of? Would they tell of Jesus? Would the stones shout the same message as the disciples? "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Would they speak of the Jewish people who live there, their pains, their worries, and also their joys and their blessings? Would they shout of the sacredness of life? Would they tell of the Roman occupiers and stories of violence and oppression? Would they shout of how we humans abuse creation and each other? When Jesus said the stones would shout, he was saying that what was happening could not be stopped. Injustice and oppression could not hide. The abuse of God's people by the very governments who are supposed to be caring for them is an affront to God. And if the people don't cry out, Jesus says, then the stones will. Creation itself will witness to the injustice. Truth will be told no matter what. We face injustices today. No one is untouched as the current administration attacks basic human rights, bullying and scaring people into silence, as it deports legal residents without due process, tries to erase trans people and gay people and people of color, cuts vital human services, builds an authoritarian government to make the rich richer at the expense of the poor. This is power that sees people and creation not as gifts from God to be treasured, but resources to be exploited for profit. And the stones do cry out. Doesn't the very earth talk to us today? It shouts of its abuse at the hands of greedy and careless humans, talking of the devastation of wars, with earthquakes from fracking, with climate change, increased forest fires, extreme flooding and drought, animal species dying, threatened with extinction. The earth shouts for help, for justice, for healing and liberation. Let the stones shout. The story of injustice must be told. And if we remain silent, if we skip over the death and injustice in the world, if, for example, we jump from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, from joyous parade to joyous resurrection, we only cover up the important truths that lie in between. If we ignore pain and evil, it festers and destroys us. We're living that today. We ignored and denied our problems, and now they're taking over. A healthy response to that pain, to our shadow, to the parts of life that we'd rather not acknowledge, is to become conscious of them and work through them. We need to let ourselves feel the darkness in the world. And unfortunately, that's not hard these days. But we also do this ritually in our Good Friday service. And we do it not to dwell in darkness, not to make ourselves depressed, but we do it in order to bring light and truth to the darkness. We can shout to our government demanding they rule with truth, with fairness and compassion, saying no more lies, no more wars. And we can shout against corporate greed, no more harming people and the environment just to squeeze out another penny of profit. And we can speak to our neighbors, saying no more racism, no more sexism, no more transphobia, no more homophobia. But joyous political protest results in Jesus' death by the end of the week. The powers of this world that gain from greed and oppression don't want to hear about God's healing power of love. Jesus was killed for standing up and pointing out the injustice. He was killed for proposing that there might be a better way. And although it ended in his death, Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem that day, not to die, but to create a more just world that we might live fully and abundantly. And even though he was killed, his death could not keep him down. God's love incarnate lives on in this world. We can't ignore the world's pain. It's implicit in the shouting of the stones. But creation doesn't just shout of death. In response to its pain, it also shouts of the glory of God, telling of the sacredness of life, telling it through beautiful sunsets and in the wonder of mountains, in the peace we feel when we walk barefoot in grass or on the beach, when we touch a tree or smell a flower. Creation tells us that God is the real power at the foundation of life, not billionaires and not the armies of this world. Let the stones shout the story of God's love and healing and justice must also be told. And the shouting stones invite us to take notice and join the chorus, to join the procession and lift our voices in speaking truth to power. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, he not only witnesses to the plight of the people, but he also witnesses to the hope found in God. The crowd that day shouted of peace in heaven and glory in the highest, words that remind us of the angels singing in celebration at Jesus' birth, words that announce the birth of something new, a new way of life that is coming to replace the old. And as we reflect on this image of shouting stones, we can also hear, I think, the words of the psalmist who sings of the stone that was rejected by the builders of this world only to become the cornerstone used by God. And isn't Jesus that stone, that cornerstone? His life and ministry rejected by the powers of the world becomes the foundation of God's kingdom. The people in the crowd may have thought that Jesus would overthrow their oppressors with force. But during the course of the week, they would learn that wasn't what Jesus intended. The writer and activist Audre Lorde warned that the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. They may allow us to temporarily beat him at his own game, but they will never enable us to bring about genuine change. Jesus knew this too. A violent response to violent oppression isn't going to change much in the end. It might change who holds the power at the top of the patriarchy, but it doesn't dismantle the patriarchy. And that was what Jesus wants to do, to dismantle oppression, to remove violence from our toolbox completely. Jesus comes not to take over the world, not to justify the ways of power and wealth, but to overturn them and to build something new, something better. Jesus is the cornerstone that shouts of the way of love and compassion, peace and justice. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he wasn't declaring himself a king. He was declaring that there's a better way than Rome's way. There's a better way than having a king. There's a better way than the way of violence and oppression. There is an alternative to oppressors like the Roman Empire or the fascists and nationalists that seek power in our nation today. There's an alternative to the wealthy and the corporations that are driven only by their quarterly profit. Jesus' ride into Jerusalem was an exclamation mark on the rejection of the damaging ways of the world in favor of God's way of love. It was a proclamation that God has not given up and will not give up on God's people. Jesus' triumphant entry was an invitation to stand up to injustice in our time, to trust in the power of God's healing love and join God's parade with joy and shouting, the shout of God's love as a response to our pain, no matter the consequences. Let us join with Jesus as he marches into Jerusalem in that procession of love and justice. Let the stones shout, and let us also sing out and tell the story of God's glory, the story of God's healing love, that in the darkness of this world, we too might bring a little of God's light. Amen.